We'll take just a minute. If you have your Bibles this morning, Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 6. Here, for I will speak of excellent things. We're going on principles this morning. It's principles of speech, okay? Principles of our speech. Notice what he says. Here, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. So that's our text verse this morning. Our words affect others for good or bad. All of us. We know that. But what you say and how you say it can make the difference for someone wanting Christ or not. The words that you speak and the way that you say them. You'll notice those words reveal what's in our hearts. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay? So if you're around someone long enough, their heart will come out. So the goal is to change your heart to be like Christ, and then your words begin to change. So if you struggle with your words, get your heart close to the Lord. That's the secret. It's sort of like if you've got a water hose and you hook it up to outside, and the water plant has got a problem and they put too much of whatever in it, you're going to get it in your hose. And it's not your house's fault. It's the plant's fault. Well, your heart is the water plant. Your heart is the place where all the words come from. And so I encourage you this morning, notice if you would, in verse 6, Solomon says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things." So he's made the decision, I'm going to do what is right. I want my heart to be right, and my words are going to be right. So I'm asking you to hear. Now, let me say this. Would you look your children and grandchildren in the eye and say, "I want you to hear me, every word that I say, anytime"? In other words, all my words are going to be right. I want you to hear as I speak to your mother or to your father or to your grandmother or your grandfather. I want you to hear my words. I want to give you an example of what you should say and what you should not say. Now, notice if you would, our words build our testimony. Everybody in this room. Let me give you an example. Okay? Let's say, for instance, I decided to try to impress some people in our church that I decided I would tell sort of an off-color joke that would make them laugh because I'm trying to get them to laugh. What kind of a testimony would I have in your eyes? It would go out the window like that. What happens if I let a couple of curse words slip? Like Peter, he began to curse and to swear. And they looked at him and said, "Oh, he must not be with the Christians." You lose your testimony that quick. So your words build your testimony. Now, if you have been saved for a while and you've been walking with the Lord, then your words, you're not going to have a problem with curse words and off-color words and things like that. Because you left those away behind. Now, you may have a problem with the way you say things. I have to watch myself because I am very, I'm too rapid. What can happen? What? What do you need? Yes, no. It can come across a little curt. And so I have to take a step back and say, "Yes, ma'am, can I help you?" Especially to my sweet Janet. I have to be very careful because I'm going, and she may write and say, hey, could I talk to you for a minute? Not right now. I'm busy. I never want to say stuff like that. I always want to say, you know what? Could I get back with you in a few minutes? I got a couple things to do. If you need me, I'll listen right now. Because she's priority. Yesterday, you know, we're still trying to get things squared away. I'm trying to get her a credit card and with one of my credit cards, get her a credit card. And so, you know, everything's pretty good. This is the last thing I've been trying to get. So I contacted the people and they said, okay, sir, do you want, and they give me a spiel. Do you realize you're going to have to pay all the bills she racks up? Do you realize you want this? You want that? And I said, let me think about that. And so, of course, she's, you know, hitting me now. Hey, what's going on? And then they said this. Do you want, last night, honest, this happened. Do you want a spending limit on her? No. That's what I heard from her. Okay. I can look through this and say, would you be quiet? I'm talking to this lady. But I had to say, is it possible to put a $20 spending limit on her? And the lady on the phone started laughing. Well, now she started laughing too. But the way you say things and I say things can be taken sweetly or can be taken very hurtful. So you have to be careful with that. The way you say things. Now, our words reflect on the Lord. If you're God's child, your words are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your words. It really says with your body, but you can substitute that for words. Because your words are the words of the Lord, because you're God's child. Now, I want you to notice, what are wrong words? Let's just take a list of some of them. You know, they list right here and he says, for my mouth shall speak truth. Well, lying or deceitful words are always wrong. So anytime you decide to twist the truth or to flat out lie, those are wrong words. Don't say it. Let your heart say, I can't say that. That wouldn't be. Notice if you, what he says in here in verse number six, the last phrase, the opening of my lips shall be right things. So you want to say, you want to get rid of wrong words or lying words. Wrong words are grievous words. You don't want to say grievous words. You know, you could say, if you have your Bible, flip over to Proverbs 15. Notice with me, if you would, Proverbs 15. Notice what he says in verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, it doesn't say the words themselves. It's primarily the words, the way we say them. Grievous words could be the wrong words, or it could be the way we say them. And literally the word grievous, Hebrew word here is for painful or hurtful. When you're trying to hurt somebody by your words, you have to be so careful. You're at work. Somebody didn't do their job. Maybe you covered up for them and they didn't get in trouble for it. And they come up to you and say, you know, I saw you did my job for me. You got that project finished up for me. And you can say, yeah, I did. And I shouldn't have. Grievous words. You could have said, yeah, you should have done them yourself and not left it to everybody else to do. It's the way we say things. Grievous words. They stir up anger. Notice if you would, in Proverbs 7:5, if you would, Proverbs 7:5, you'll notice words that are, well, let's read it. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words. So they can be words that are meant to allure you. And folks, this happens all the time. Alluring words. You could write them in a note. You can say them. They're alluring words. They should never be said. I was a member of a church, an assistant pastor about 40 years ago, and the payroll secretary married to one of our deacons, wrote a note on one of the men's payroll checks that said, I've been watching you. I really appreciate you. You're a very caring man. And they ended up running off together because that started it. All I'm trying to say to you is all of us have to be very careful of alluring words. Notice the next one. We should be careful of becoming a talebearer. We repeat things that we shouldn't repeat. Talebearing is not, the idea is that you're trying to hurt somebody. But you can repeat something that somebody didn't want repeated and hurt them without trying. I'll give you an example. Last night, I got an email from James Callimore. James Callimore's got something wrong with his foot, and it's swelling up. He's been on medicine. It's some sort of infection. He doesn't know what it is. The doctors don't know what. They're all concerned about it. And so he just said, "Pray, I can't be there for my class today. I'm sorry." And so wrote him back, said, "We'll be praying for you. Jan and I'll pray for you. Could we have the church family pray for you?" Some people write back and say, "No, please don't. Just you and Janet pray." Now, he wrote back and said, "Sure, the more prayers, the better." But I have to be careful that I'm not tail-bearing without intending to hurt somebody. They didn't want it out. There are all kinds of things. And so you and I both have to be that way. Be careful of something being said that is true, but somebody didn't want it out there. So notice, if you would, hasty words. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 29. And notice, if you would, Proverbs 29, verse number 20. "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him." Hasty words. Somebody tell me what a hasty word is. What's a hasty word? Pardon me? Right. You speak before you think. You just say something without thinking about it. Maybe without praying about it sometimes. If the Bible says pray without ceasing, that means we're to pray about all the words that we say. We might get up that morning and say, "Lord, if you have a problem with hurting people's feelings, or you've got some distance between you and some people because of things you said, you need to get on your knees and each morning say, 'Lord, would you give me a guard, a watch of my lips, that I don't say hasty words, that I think before I speak?'" Can you name for me somebody in Scripture that needed to pray that prayer? Peter. And you know what? He did, because God had him write 1 Peter chapter 3, and he spoke about words there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So words can be fixed, but it starts here. All of us have to. So notice not only that, but look at Proverbs chapter 2. I'm primarily sticking in Proverbs. There's other places, but notice, if you would, Proverbs chapter 2. In verse number 12, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things." Froward thing is a filthy thing. It's a wrong thing. It's a perverse thing. Look at chapter 4 and verse 24. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." Look, it's a direct command. You may say, "Well, I tithe, but I don't watch my words." Well, you're disobedient to the Lord. You can't give enough money to make up for bad words. And you can't do a perfect job of saying the right words and not give. Look, it's just that you can't just do one thing well. A Christian, the Holy Spirit, the major thing the Holy Spirit does in our life is he gives us balance and consistency. We consistently do everything right. And when we don't, we notice it and we make it right. So, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Forgive me." I catch myself from time to time with a hasty word or a sharp word, not intending to be an apple. Look at somebody and say, look, I didn't mean it like that. Well, forgive me, please. I just wasn't thinking. And so it's important that all of us are careful that we don't use perverse words. Those are words meant to hurt. Those are words that are off color, dirty. Those are words that I pray no one in our church would ever use. Peter did after he walked with the Lord for 3 years. So all of us are susceptible to perverse words. And then notice, we should not use vain words. Now, that's James 5, 6. But let me explain a vain word. It's a word, now listen very carefully. All of us use this. Matter of fact, let's turn to James. I want you to just see real quickly. James chapter 5, if you would. James chapter 5. And notice with me, if you would. James chapter 5. Excuse me, that's the wrong one. It's James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, did you get this? That's us sitting in this room. And bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So our words, vain words, make our religion vain in the eyes of people. How many have ever heard of a hypocrite? That's where it comes from. We don't bridle our tongue. Now, let's just take a real good image here. Does anybody know what a bridle is for? Not a halter, but a bridle. What's the difference? Anybody know? A bridle has nothing in the mouth. It's just a contraption that goes around the head with the ears stick up and you lead them around. It doesn't do anything with the mouth. A bridle is like this and it has a U-shaped bottom on it. So that when you pull the bridle reins, it presses the tongue. So when a horse is riding along and you pull back, it mashes his tongue and he stops. You pull it to the right, and he can go to the right. If he doesn't do something right, you pull back on it, mashes his tongue, he stops. He said, we have to bridle our own tongue. Now, let's read it again. You'll notice what he says. If any man know about the religion, how it affects our religion, and that's our testimony, you might say. But notice, if you're with me, in verse 26, if any man among you, they're Christians, he's writing it to Christians, so it'd be if any man in the in pastor's class, Sunday school class, seem to be religious. Religious is seem to be worshipful of a God. The God, yes, for us. We worship the Lord. Okay? If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his own tongue. So, you know, if you see somebody walk around doing this, he's trying to protect his tongue, maybe. We need to do some more of that. All of us. But you do that by prayer in the morning, by asking the Lord to give you the Holy Spirit's guidance, and you think before you speak. It takes work and effort to bridle our own tongue. But I'm going to tell you this, it's a part of the Christian life. All of us have to learn not to say the first thing we think. Because the first thing that we think, and as we get closer and closer to the Lord, the first thing that we think is usually right when we get close to the Lord. Anybody here ever heard the percentage? How many of you have taken a test? And an answer hit your mind and you wrote it down and then you begin to question yourself. Anybody ever done that? Okay. Now, do you know how many times if you've studied, your first thought is correct? 60%. That's why if you studied, don't change the answer unless you really had a thought that said, oh, I put the wrong answer down. Because 60% of the time, if you've studied and prepared, your mind pulls something up that's correct. If you didn't study, it's 50-50. And so, you know, if it's a two question, if you got two choices, if it's multiple choice, you're in deep trouble. That's all I tell you. Okay? So the idea is, as we look at it, we begin to say, oh my goodness, your first thought, if you walk with Christ, your first thought is going to be 60, 65%, 70%, 75%, 80%. Because when you walk with Christ as your best friend, you begin to take on His attributes, His likes, His dislikes, and you would never badmouth your husband or your wife. You would never yell at your children, because Jesus Christ is not going to look at you and say, Pittman, be quiet. I'm not going to do that. He's going to speak to me in a manner that would touch my heart. So all of us in this room have to bridle our own tongues. It's not my job to bridle Janet's tongue. It's not her job to bridle my tongue. I can pray for her, but she's been walking with Christ so long that she's always speaking to her. I've not heard one bad word from her, period, even close. All been positive and kind. As a matter of fact, she'd think a bank robber deserves to have a second chance, you know. Can you give him the gun back? I trust him. That's just her. She just really is a trusting soul. I so appreciate that about her. Now, notice with me, if you would, very quickly, we can use right words. Right words are encouraging words. Proverbs 12:25. Don't have time to turn there. We can use kind words. 2 Chronicles 10:7. Kind words. Words that are meant to be good to somebody. Now listen to this. Kind words are usually words that are a little better than somebody deserves. They're not flattering words. They're just kind words. Notice, if you would, we can speak up at the right time and do right. Timely words are important. Someone loses a family member, and you give timely words of encouragement. All of us in this room. Someone is struggling in school, an 8-year-old struggling in school. We can sit down with them and say, you know, I'm going to pray with you about it. How can I help you? Let's study this together. I want to help you learn how to study. Words that are timely words. All of us have to be available for that. The good words you have to work at. But as you walk with Christ more and more, the good words become habit. Now, I got to be frank with you. I don't remember, before Susan was in a wheelchair, I don't remember how good I was at putting my clothes in the dirty clothes and hanging up my clothes. I don't remember how good it was at that. I don't think I was all that great. I don't ever remember just taking my clothes off and throwing them on the floor. But sometimes I'd hang them over the bar, or I'd hang them over a door. But then when Susan passed away, when Susan went to the wheelchair, then I had to say, okay, now what can I do? I can't leave stuff on the floor because she might hurt herself. And matter of fact, she was doing washing and she had a towel. She was putting it in the laundry, trying to do it herself. And she reached down to get a towel. Her elbow hit the go button on her chair and it sucked her under it and twisted her leg in half. Do you remember that? When she came through with her leg out, the one leg was gone. The other leg was, we had to put an extension in her wheelchair to let her leg come out, and she still came to church and she still taught. And I remember saying, I've got to do a better job. Let me do the laundry. And so, you know, I began to try to pick things up for now, when I got married to Janet, you know, I put my socks in the right bin. Does anybody know why? Because I had to wash them. Does anybody remember telling me I had to throw all my underclothes away because they turned pink? I learned. It was so easy to just throw them in the washing machine and figure out how to turn that thing on. And about 6-8 months later, I noticed my clothes. I said, what is going on here? And then it dawned on me, that's why you separate your clothes. Okay? So, after a time of, you know, trying to figure out my own life, then I get married and she says, well, Susan trains you well. Well, you know, I got tired of pink underwear. That's what it was. And so you begin to learn yourself. And the longer you try to do what's right, now I don't think about it. I take my clothes off, put them right there in the right spot, hang them up. Because now I pay for it if I have to take them to the cleaner 6 times, you know. And the other day she took my suit to the cleaner. I didn't realize she had done it. Like $86. I said, I didn't want to rebuy my suits. I just wanted them cleaned. And the guy said, I'm sorry, you know, you got these suits. Here's the price. And so, you know, now I get my suits off. I pick them up and put them over the thing just right. Put them back up there. And I don't want to pay that again. We learn as we walk doing right that they become habit. Walk with Christ. So that good words become habit. And bad words, the Holy Spirit works on your heart and your thinking and bridling your own tongue, and your words will be pleasing to the Lord. It is wonderful when we can get to do our best. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 34. I'll close with this. Psalm 34, if you would. I want you to see this verse. Psalm 34 and verse number 13. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and ensue it. Verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. When you keep your tongue and depart from evil. Notice verse 15. Why? The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. If you want the right words, and you plead with the Lord with a determined heart, he'll help you change your words. Father, thank you today for being our strength, our support, and being willing to help us with our words. Lord, we want our words to be pleasing to you. If there's anybody in this room that doesn't really care about their words and is not interested in bridling their tongue, would you touch their heart that they would change to be more like you? In your name I pray. Amen.